The Katra Podcast, conversations for the curious, essential knowledge simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we are strapping in for a pretty wild journey right into the absolute center of matter, the atomic nucleus.
You get inside the act.
And we're using the brilliant insights of Frank Close as our guide, our mission to get a quick but thorough understanding of what Close calls the most powerful engine in the universe.
And it really is.
But, you know, can the rules governing something so tiny really dictate the scale of the entire cosmos?
Well, that's the fascinating part, isn't it? Understanding nuclear physics, it's not just some abstract science experiment.
Right.
It's really the foundation of, well, modern civilization in many ways. It explains how our sun shines, how all stars generate light.
How we even got here, the elements.
Exactly. How the elements we're made of were formed. Yeah. And it also presents humanity with these really profound ethical challenges. We're talking about balancing immense power, world-changing power, with the potential for, frankly, total destruction.
So the tiny dictates the huge. But to navigate this, you know, incredibly complex field, we need a really good guide. Let's talk about Frank Close.
Close is, yeah, he's pretty much the ideal person for this. He's not just a science writer looking from the outside in.
Mm-hmm.
He's an insider, a professor of physics at Oxford, a distinguished particle physicist. He's worked at top places like CERN, the Rutherford Appleton Laboratory. He knows the subject deeply.
And that combination, being a top researcher and a fantastic communicator, that must be why his explanations are so clear.
Definitely.
He's seen the research unfold. He knows the history. If you've read his other stuff, you know he can take really dense physics and just weave it into a compelling story. Science, history, the human drama, it's all there.
Right. He simplifies it, but without making it simplistic. He keeps the depth.
And what's great here is his main goal seems to be demystifying the nucleus for, well, for us, for the curious layperson. You don't need a PhD in physics to follow along.
Not at all. And his central argument is just, well, profound. By understanding this infinitesimally small, dense core of the atom, the nucleus, we start unlocking answers to the biggest questions imaginable.
Like, what holds matter together? Where did everything come from?
Exactly. It's all packed into that tiny, mighty kernel, as you say.
So the book takes us on a journey.
It does, step by step. Starts with the shock of its discovery, then builds up the picture, introduces protons, neutrons, explains the forces holding them together.
The strong force.
The strong force, the weak force. And then connects all that tiny stuff to the huge implications, energy, technology, the cosmos itself.
Okay, let's start that journey. It begins with a real shock to the system for physics, right? Before Rutherford, the model was the plum pudding.
Yeah, sort of a diffuse, soft blob of positive charge with electrons just kind of dotted inside, like plums in a pudding.
Nice and simple, easy to imagine poking through.
But Rutherford's gold foil experiment back around 1909 just completely demolished that idea. They were firing these tiny alpha particles, positively charged, at this incredibly thin sheet of gold foil.
Expecting them just to zip right through?
Pretty much. Maybe a slight deflection. But the big surprise, the astonishment, came when a tiny fraction, like 1 in 8,000, bounced back violently.
Whoa. Rutherford apparently compared it to firing a 15-inch artillery shell at tissue paper and having it come back and hit you.
Captures the shock perfectly. It seemed impossible by the physics of the day.
It happened.
It happened. And the only way to explain it was that the atom is mostly nothing, empty space. And almost all its mass, all its positive charge, is crammed into this unbelievably tiny, dense spot at the center.
It's a nucleus.
Nucleus.
Which, okay, immediately brings up the killer question for nuclear physics. The nucleus is packed with positive protons. They should repel each other like crazy, right? Electrostatic force? Why doesn't it just fly apart instantly?
Ah, that's where the strong nuclear force comes in. This is the cosmic glue.
The most powerful force.
By far the most powerful force we know of.
Yeah.
It has to be, to overcome that huge electrical repulsion between protons.
But we don't, like, feel it walking around.
No, because its defining feature, apart from its strength, is its incredibly short range. Basically only works inside the nucleus. Get particles even slightly further apart, and it vanishes.
So it's like super glue, but only works if things are touching.
Kind of, yeah. It's the ultimate short-range binding force. Without it, you'd have no atoms beyond hydrogen, just chaos.
Okay, this amazing force, it must connect to energy somehow, to nuclear power. Einstein's famous equation, E no seesaw, how does that fit in?
explicitly central. It means mass is energy, just in a very, very concentrated form. So when protons and neutrons bind together to form a nucleus, held by that strong force, the resulting nucleus actually weighs a tiny bit less than the sum of the masses of the individual protons and neutrons that went into it.
Wait, Les, where does the mass go?
It's converted. That tiny bit of missing mass isn't lost. It's transformed directly into the energy that holds the nucleus together. That's the binding energy.
And that's the energy we tap into.
That's the source. Mm-hmm. And we can release it in two main ways, fission and fusion.
Right. Fission is splitting heavy atoms.
Exactly. Splitting heavy, unstable nuclei like uranium that powers current reactors and, unfortunately, bombs. Fusion is the opposite.
Merging light ones.
Merging very light nuclei, usually hydrogen isotopes, to form a heavier one, like helium. This actually releases even more energy per particle involved.
And that's what stars do.
That's the engine of every star, including our sun.
Okay, so if the nucleus is the engine on Earth, let's scale up. Connect this tiny speck to the stars. If the nucleus holds matter together, where did all the different kinds of matter, the elements, actually come from?
It's a great question because, you know, we tend to forget the Big Bang itself only cooked up the very lightest elements.
Just hydrogen and helium, mostly?
Pretty much just hydrogen and helium, maybe a trace of lithium. Everything else, the carbon in your body, the oxygen you're breathing, the iron in your blood, silicon in computers, all of it had to be forged later.
Inside stars?
Inside stars. Through nuclear fusion. That's what stellar nucleosynthesis means. Stars are these giant, long-lived nuclear furnaces.
Billions of years just fusing elements.
Yep, fusing hydrogen to helium, helium to carbon, oxygen, and so on, building up heavier elements in their cores, all the way up to iron.
But what about stuff heavier than iron? Gold, uranium?
For those, you need something even more energetic than a standard star's life cycle. You need a truly catastrophic event.
A supernova.
A supernova explosion. That unbelievable blast provides the colossal energy needed to fuse iron and other elements into the heaviest materials on the periodic table. And then, crucially, it scatters all those newly made elements across the galaxy.
So the gold in my ring was made in an exploding star.
Billions of years ago, yes. Oh. It leads to that amazing takeaway Close really emphasizes. We are, quite literally, made of stardust.
Wow. Our very existence depends on these stellar nuclear processes.
Completely. The atoms that make you up were forged in the hearts of stars and scattered by supernovae long ago.
Okay, mind blown a bit there. But the physics quest doesn't stop at the nucleus, right? Close goes deeper.
He does. Because protons and neutrons, they aren't fundamental either. We now know they're made of even smaller particles called quarks.
Quarks, okay. So it's like Russian dolls of matter.
Sort of. A proton, for example, is made of two up quarks and one down quark, held together by other particles called gluons. The whole other level described by a theory called quantum chromodynamics, or QCD.
And scientists are actually probing this level now.
Oh, yes. That's the cutting edge. Using giant particle accelerators like the Large Hadron Collider at CERN, they smash heavy nuclei together at incredible speeds.
Why? What are they hoping to see?
They're trying to recreate the conditions of the very early universe, like the first microsecond after the Big Bang. The idea is to briefly create a state of matter called a quark-gluon plasma.
A soup of quarks and gluons?
Exactly, before they condensed into protons and neutrons. By studying that plasma, they hope to understand the fundamental origins of mass itself, how structure formed in the universe. It's really trying to rewind time.
That is absolutely stunning. Okay, let's try and pull back a bit. Synthesizing all this, what are the big lasting themes that Close leaves us with?
Well, I think the first one has to be the duality of nuclear power. It's inescapable.
How so?
The very same scientific principles, the same understanding of fission, lead to controlled nuclear reactors potentially providing clean, abundant energy, and to uncontrolled chain reactions in devastating weapons.
So knowledge brings responsibility.
Profound ethical responsibility. That's a key message.
Okay, what's second?
I'd say cosmic alchemy. This realization that the rules governing the tiny nucleus, the strong force, fusion, are ultimately responsible for all the chemical richness and complexity we see in the universe.
Without those nuclear rules, it's just hydrogen and helium forever.
Exactly. No planets, no life, none of it. Our existence hinges on those nuclear reactions playing out in stars.
And a third theme.
That would be the quantum foundation of it all. Nuclear processes, particularly radioactivity, forced physicists to accept that the universe isn't strictly deterministic.
You mean like predicting exactly when something will happen?
Right. We can know the half-life of a radioactive sample, the time it takes for half the nuclei to decay. It's like incredibly precise for large numbers. But for any single nucleus, it's impossible to predict exactly when it will decay. It's fundamentally probabilistic.
Governed by chance at its core. That's a huge shift from classical thinking, isn't it? The idea of a clockwork universe.
A massive shift. It showed that quantum mechanics, with its inherent probabilities, governs the fundamental level of reality. It definitely raises some big philosophical questions about certainty and prediction.
To make some of these ideas stick, Close uses some great analogies. You mentioned the strong force being short range.
Yes, he describes it almost like subatomic Velcro.
Velcro, yeah.
Incredibly strong when the two pieces are pressed together, right?
Yeah.
But pull them even slightly apart and the force drops to basically nothing.
That's a great visual. Explains why nuclei stick together, but we don't feel the force day to day.
Precisely. And another key idea to remember is just how historically important radioactivity was. It wasn't just a curious phenomenon. It was the first clear, undeniable proof that nature operates on probabilistic laws at its most fundamental level.
Not deterministic clockwork.
No. A game of quantum chance underlies it all.
And all this reinforces that central, maybe slightly scary idea. The binding energy holding nuclei together is the source of both the most constructive and destructive technologies humans have ever devised.
That sums up the duality perfectly.
Okay, let's bring it right down to Earth. How does this knowledge actually get used in our lives? Medicine seems like a big one.
Huge. The principles of radioactivity and nuclear decay are vital. Think about PET scans, positron emission tomography.
How do they work?
Doctors inject a tiny amount of a radioactive tracer. As it decays inside your body, it emits positrons. These interact nearby and produce gamma rays that a scanner detects. This lets doctors see, in real time, how tissues and organs are functioning, not just what they look like. Crucial for diagnosing cancers, heart problems, brain disorders.
And treatment, too. Radiotherapy.
Yes, radiotherapy. Using focused beams of radiation, often gamma rays from cobalt-60, to target and kill cancer cells by damaging their DNA. The trick is precision hitting the tumor while sparing healthy tissue as much as possible.
Beyond the hospital, I know dating old things uses this radiometric dating.
Right, radiometric dating. The predictable decay rate, the half-life, acts like a clock. The most famous is carbon-14 dating.
Carbon-14, that's for organic stuff.
Exactly. Living things absorb carbon, including a tiny fixed ratio of radioactive carbon-14. When they die, they stop absorbing it, and the C14 starts decaying with a half-life of about 5,730 years. By measuring the remaining C14 in, say, an ancient piece of wood or bone, archaeologists can figure out how old it is.
Up to how old?
Pretty accurately, up to about 50,000 years. It lets us map out human history, past climates.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
And I think you mentioned even smoke detectors.
Yep. Many common smoke detectors have a tiny speck of americium-241. It's radioactive, emits alpha particles, and these ionize the air in a small chamber, creating a tiny electric current.
Okay.
When smoke particles enter the chamber, they disrupt that current. The detector senses the drop, and boom, the alarm goes off. Simple, but based directly on nuclear physics.
Wow. From the heart of stars to saving lives in hospitals and homes, it really is everywhere. What a deep dive this has been.
It really has.
My final thought, the thing that sticks with me most, is probably just the sheer audacity of that strong nuclear force. The idea that this incredibly powerful but incredibly short-range glue is the only thing preventing atomic nuclei, and therefore all of us, everything from instantly flying apart, is just mind-bending.
It is, and for me, it's that cosmic context that Synthesis Close provides. The unity of the physical laws, from the tiniest nucleus to the grandest structures in the universe, the nucleus really is the central engine. And, you know, the book touches on research into controlled fusion.
Replicating a star on Earth.
Exactly. So here's a final thought to leave you with. What would it truly mean for humanity if we finally cracked controlled fusion? If we could reliably generate near limitless clean energy, using essentially hydrogen from water as fuel, how would that utterly reshape global energy, economics, politics, everything?
A profound question indeed. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.